Let's go.
Okay, councillors, we'll move on to item 9, page 79. East Lodge, Lee Bottom, Lillick, in Luton. Now, this is change of use of agricultural land to provide dog training and exercise facilities. Simon Ellis to introduce the report.
Thank you, Chair. Since this report was written, I've had further discussions with Hertfordshire County Council Highways and Hertfordshire County Council West Way officers, recognising that this rural enterprise generates additional traffic on byway open to all traffic, which is known as a boat, which serves the site. And having discussed that with those officers, I recommend two additional conditions, if I may, as follows. And the wording of these has been agreed by both the Highway Authority and the Rights of Way Officer. So the new condition, which would be number one, so the first condition of this, of any planning permission, if you might, to grant, within 6 months of the date of this planning permission, the applicant shall have entered into a legal agreement with Hertfordshire County Council to secure the implementation of a service improvement scheme for boat of the 20, which accesses the application site. And the reason is to ensure a maintenance programme for upgrading the condition of the boat from additional traffic caused by this development in the interests of highway safety and amenity. This condition requires the applicant to enter into a legal agreement with Harts County Council, and that legal agreement will require them to fund a scheme of maintenance and repair of the boat. The second condition that I'm going to recommend is the use of land hereby permitted shall cease within 2 years of the date of this decision notice unless the works secured through condition one above have been implemented in full. If the maintenance program required under condition one cannot be secured within a reasonable time frame, this use of land must cease in the interests of highway safety and amenity. So this condition provides a reasonable time frame within which the works required under condition one can take place. And if no agreement is reached on the works, or the works have not been carried out, the use must cease at this point. The other conditions in the recommendation follow in the sequential order. So in my view, the proposed mitigation, which will be formalised by these conditions, strike the correct balance between two objectives of the National Planning Policy Framework. Paragraph 28 seeks to promote rural enterprise and diversification to encourage sustainable rural businesses. And paragraph 17 seeks, among other broad objectives, to protect living conditions. So the conditions, in my view, strike a reasonable balance to manage this business, to prevent undue damage to the right of way. And I'll just go through the slides, if I may. So this is the aerial slide showing you the location of the use, the dog training use on that strange shaped field at East Lodge. And this is a view of the use from the end of the highway open to all traffic, showing you there's some of the things that they use to train the dogs laid out there. So when you go down that road, and I have driven down it, it is quite bumpy, especially at the end. There's some huge dents at the end, so it does need to be maintained. And this use does generate additional traffic, so I think it's reasonable to ask the applicant to get that upgraded. And there's a closer view into the site showing you what they use to train the dogs in that location. And again, there's the location plan there showing you that. So the use would be restricted only within the red line, and then it would be governed by the conditions plus the two additional conditions that I've recommended this evening. And that's it. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. We have some registered speakers. I gather Councillor Claire Strong, Council Advocate, is not here. It's not coming. Okay. I have Councillors Frost and Barnard. Can I invite Councillor Frost and Barnard? Member advocate or as a private citizen.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, councillors. As you're aware, I have put in this application to committee this evening due to the strong contrary views of the parish council. I must firstly declare that I live along Byway 20. I have been advised that I cannot speak on the application as a member advocate due to my position at the district council. However, I exercise my right to speak and present the following information to you as a serving parish councillor on off-leave with Cockernoe Parish Council. I have listened to all debates with an open mind and have left the meetings where the application was discussed prior to any votes or decisions being made. East Lodge is situated along Byway 20. Byway 20 is a dusty farm track and is the main access route for agricultural vehicles to service the fields surrounding the property. Heavy traffic along the track has led to its degradation, creating large potholes that have cost the County Council a lot of money to fill. After many years of campaigning, Byway 20, which is also open to a lot of criminal activity, was recently downgraded with two heavy metal gates installed, preventing parallel axle vehicles from travelling along the track, other than those with written permission from Harts County Council wishing to access properties on the Puttridge Ferry estate. If permission were granted tonight, with the conditions attached, the dog training business operating at East Lodge would be allowed to trade between the hours of 9:05 Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday and 9:01 on a Saturday, with four cars permitted at any one time. The current operators have transit type vans and the clients drive SUVs in the main. This is already tearing up Byway 20 and severely eroding the grass verges where people are going around the potholes. Supposing that these sessions are 1 hour duration, that will mean 32 in and 32 out traffic movements a day, in addition to the instructed vans and the owners. The track cannot sustain this continual commercial use. Surely taxpayers will not be expected to maintain the track for such reasons. We have been advised that ensuring the applicants abide by the conditions outlined before you will be the responsibility of the enforcement officers at North Harts District Council. With their extensive workload, it is certain that the enforcement officers will not be able to monitor the dog training facilities. To add to this, there is an inadequate parking for this number of cars at East Lodge. Agricultural vehicles have already been obstructed by the vehicles travelling to and from the property. There are no opportunities for vehicles to pass while travelling along the single track. There have been a number of inaccuracies during the application process. Firstly, Lilley Parish Council was consulted by Mrs. Poyser. The site does not fall in Lilley Parish, it's in Offaly. The original application states that there are no trees on this site. There are. The original application states that the facility were to train the owner's dogs on this site. Again, this is incorrect, as they are running a commercial business training clients' dogs. You would have received copies of correspondence sent by the applicants to their neighbours 1 year ago today, stating that they were helping out friends from their local club, Trip Dog Training Class in Welling, a couple of times a week over summer. A year on, and the activity has increased to a daily activity with far more visitors attending. It is difficult to believe that any conditions will be adhered to. Mrs. Poyser, the planning officer, consulted Hertfordshire Highways, but Byway 20 is not the responsibility of Hertfordshire Highways, and therefore they would have no comment, which obviously has been corrected tonight. After finally consulting Tom Goldsmith at the Hearts Byways officer, Tom advised Kate that if she were minded to grant permission for the application, he would ask that condition were added, whereas the owners of East Lodge made the financial contribution towards the upkeep of Byway 20. This was not included in your original papers that you would have received a week or so ago. So how can you make an informed decision when you have not been given all the information? East Lodge and its grounds are located in the Greenbelt and the conservation area. Introducing a dog training facility with all of its equipment and associated traffic is an inappropriate development in the Greenbelt. Byway 20 was downgraded to preserve the track as well as making it a safe route for many walkers, cyclists and horse riders that enjoy the area each week. By introducing up to 200 traffic movements along the track every week, this will put us back into the position we were in prior to the years of campaigning to make this a safe and enjoyable country track for people to appreciate. There are also young infants that live along the track. The antisocial, excessive speeds at which the SUVs and vans travel to and from East Lodge poses a real danger to the individuals residing along Byway 20. The deep potholes created by a massive increase in vehicle movements has created a need for the cars to drive halfway up the grass verges, causing further damage. In autumn, winter and spring months, I'm on my back of the point chair, spring months, the regular rainfall makes this a slurry of flowing mud, which cakes all of the properties and cars along Byway 20. I'm aware that several insurance claims have been made against the County Council for damage to motor vehicles caused by the state of the track, including claims from the applicant. Signs have been erected by the County Council at the entrance of Byway 20 to say it's unsuitable for vehicles. Therefore, why would you ever grant permission for 200 car movements per week to travel along a track that is deemed unsuitable for vehicles? I urge you to find this an unsound application tonight.
Thank you. Members, have you got any questions or clarification?
Sorry, I don't know the area very well, but on 4310, it does state there are no nearby residential properties.
So at the entrance to the track, Byway 20 comes off of Lily Bottom, which is a very, very fast road that is used by TNT Doherty lorries and people travelling to and from Luton. My property is on that junction, so every car has to come from that junction up past my property to get to the dog training.
There are three properties there.
Yes, Councillor Carr.
Can I ask, were you aware of the conditions 1 and 2 that Mr. Ellis proposed? So based your presentation was based with the knowledge of that, or
we have been in contact with Tom Goldsmith. I'd spoken to Kay Poyser and said, why have you consulted highways? It's not a highway. We obviously contacted Tom Goldsmith to make him aware. He had said that he had been in contact with Kate and he had made her aware of the condition that he would like her to put into the granting if she were minded to. However, she still failed to, and now it's come to the committee through Mr. Ellis.
Can I just check? If you get a made up road there, whereas the boat, which is uneven, slows vehicles down, if you get a proper surface, would that actually speed vehicles up in the area?
100%. It would make it an awful lot worse. The cars, I can think of one that my husband, every time that it goes past, it's terrible, this one driver. They're now going up the verges to get around the potholes, but they're going at such speeds. And as I've just said, Lily Bottom that meets Byway 20 is a very fast road used by hundreds of commuters every day. It's not, the vision display at the end is also incorrect. So to put that number of cars and increase the speed, they may not stop at the end of it, and it's just an accident waiting to happen.
Yes, if I can just add there, the boat it's for the reuse in their garbage department.
It has just been downgraded to prevent parallel accident vehicles travelling along it.
Yes, could you explain that a bit more? I'm familiar with the boats and the issues that can happen on them. I knew that there'd be some restrictions. Where actually is the gate which stops them going further right the way up to Package Ferry? That's the first one.
If you look at, if you look at the point it was just on it, the gate is just at the other end of East Lodge. So you can get as far as East Lodge and then you meet the metal gate, so you cannot go any further, and it's the same at the top of the track.
Okay, fine. I mean, the second point is, can you explain to us how you got your figures of, you know, it's up to 64 journeys a day?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, I've done some rough calculations. If it's an hour's dog training each day,
if you allow, if you say what were the hours? 9 to 5, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which is 8 hours. 4 cars per 8 hours, and you're doing
4 cars.
Yeah, they're allowed.
Right, 4 cars per
hour. And then times
it
up. That's assuming, of course, that it is every hour, and it's 4 pounds every hour.
Looking at their current movements, I wouldn't put it past them, because they're travelling at all types of
unless you want to limit it, then that is what they can.
But have you audited, obviously you have, because you live near there. What has your audit show is actually going up there?
Not far off this. I wouldn't say they're every hour on the hour at the moment, but they are also travelling at rather antisocial times. Bear in mind, I have younger children as well that do go to bed, obviously earlier than we would. The vans come down at 7, 8, 9 o'clock and they wake my children up regularly.
12 months ago today, you received an email from the activists saying that just to let you know that next Wednesday you'll notice about 3 cars coming up and back through the morning plus a black van. They're friends of mine, dog training club, and they'll be in the a couple of times a week through the summer. That was 12 months ago, and it's escalated and escalated and escalated.
Thank you very much.
Can I just clarify before I go and sit back down, do I need to leave the room for the debate? Yes.
No, I think you should do as well.
General, I'll take your advice on this one.
On the point of order, Chairman, if I may. The applicant is known to me. There's no pecuniary interest.
Any material interest? Apart from the fact that you know the applicant?
I don't think so.
Are you predetermined in any way?
No.
It's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can I now invite the applicant, Mr. Cowper, Mrs. Tracy Boyle? I'm sorry if I said that.
Council has repaired it only once. 12 months ago, before all of this started, I contacted Mr. Tom Goldsmith, and I said to him, what do we do about the road? And he said, it's going to cost £600. And that's before any of this happened. I said to him, I would be willing to pay 50% of the repair to the roads. We have two cars. I'm an international businessman. I'm at home 50% of the time, so there's only one car that gets used. We have a 4-5-bedroom house, which ultimately we could have 4 or 5 people living there. So, if I tell you a little story, you know, to us, our vision was always to have a house in the country, and we found this project we've been really blessed by. My work takes me all over the world, and there was this issue about safety. We had drug runners, we had flight tickers, we had people coming at night. And when Frank, my wife, asked if she could use the field to train a few dogs, we don't have children, we have dogs. And dogs, for those who don't have children but have dogs, the dogs become a bit like your kid. And because I traveled, my wife became passionate about dogs. She wanted her friend to be there. I saw it as an added element of security. I listened to the numbers depicted by Mrs. Barnard of Frost. I'm in the wrong business. 32 cars a day, times 4 days, times 52 weeks. This is a lucrative business. I should get a stake in this. I'm making no money. I'm just letting someone local use the field. Why? I'm a successful businessman. But I didn't become successful without being helped by people around me. And this woman approached us with a passion to serve her community and provide a service that didn't exist. We were moved. I spent £2,000 making the gate secure so this person could use it. There are no more than 20 cars per week that use that track. You know, I'm an analyst. I studied the risk. I said, well, who is this going to bother? We don't want to bother anyone. We are law-abiding citizens. No noise, no neighbors. I thought about the road. So then I contacted Goldsmith and told him about the 50% of that. The tractors that go through, this is farmland, agricultural land. So, compared to this, the use that we make of it is minute. Also, when Mrs. Frost talks about speed, how many of you have a dog? How many of you drive with a dog in your car and speed? Who does that? When you have a dog in your car, it's like having a child in your car. You go very slowly, you're very careful because you don't want them to be hurt. Ours, the lessons never start before 10 a.m., 9:30 a.m., at 7 o'clock. It's crazy. And it never goes beyond dusk because we don't have lights, and that's not what we want. And you're not going to run a training session if you can't see the dog. It becomes a hazard. So, to me, it seems to me there are two people who are quite powerful, who happen to be our neighbors. They're people who have been through the woods. And it annoys them that we've decided to allow someone at no financial benefit to ourselves to use a field that is not used at all, to allow 4 days a week, a few months, to run around and to have their owners socialize and create a community. I am absolutely astounded that I'm having this conversation today. In view of all the applications that have preceded us, to have people with fiduciary benefit, people with great laws, and here we are, allowing a few months running around creating a positive community, trying to contribute positively to our environment. I need to apologize to you to have wasted your time listening to me for 5 minutes, defending a case that shouldn't even be. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes. You said a few months. Can you quantify what months you're talking about, please?
So
What do you mean by muts?
You said muts.
Muts, dogs.
Muts. Oh, muts.
Yeah. It's a few dogs.
Muttic bubble.
But I just wanted to think of this. At the beginning, we didn't know if the person was going to stay there. We did it on a trial basis. We spoke to the counselor and we said to him, we don't want to break any laws. He suggested. We should put a planning application. So we just followed the rules. We didn't even know there would be an issue.
Yeah, no, I heard months. So I thought it was a little time that you appeared to be here. Okay, thank you.
Yes, Councillor Lewis.
You've heard of the proposed amendment to Recommendation 1, which says that you need within 6 months to upgrade the surface of the boat. What do you read into upgrading the surface to actually mean?
Well, there are two things. The rocks, I mean, first of all, before this ever happened, the road, we maintained everything. We maintained the verges, the trees fall on our cars during the winter. We never complained with the road. We've never got an application against the council for flat tires or anything like that. So I don't know what that means, and you can verify that. So the road has always been in total shambles the whole time. So what I understand by that is no different to what I contributed to my contribution over last year. You know, we use the road. I want the road to be in good standing. I am more than happy to contribute. We know the council don't have the money. We use the facilities. We want it to be right. We are quite happy to contribute to this.
Just to clarify
that, we're not talking about putting a form of service on the boat, are we? What we're talking about is using hogging to fill in various potholes and things, are we?
I've actually done some research, and in America I saw a company that is using recyclable plastic and can make a very, very, very good surface that's ecological, and, you know, so I'm quite happy to research it, make it right. We live there. It is in our interest to enhance the access to our house. It's not our only access point. Why would we refuse to make good when in the past we've already volunteered to pay? However, the question, the moral question is this. You know, we're not the only one that uses the road. There are far bigger vehicles than us that use that road. Should we be the ones who bear 100% of that load? Especially when we're not on it, and neither does the council.
Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, sorry. Thanks, Ms. Spencer Smith.
Yes. So 20 yards a week is your estimate at the moment. Could that double travel?
Can I clarify that answer myself? Because obviously I'm there throughout the week and I listen. When we mention the date that Julia Rush is there, the trainer, Monday to Wednesday. Once a month she isn't there on Wednesday, so we're only looking at Monday and Tuesday. On those 3 days, 2 or 3 days of the week, she has private one-to-one times. This is not a situation where every hour there are calls coming and going. For example, on Wednesday, she has two clients who are there all day with her, and them and their dogs. So two clients for the whole day. Monday and Tuesday, very similar. You might have one client in the morning who's there the whole day, another client in the afternoon. That's the type of work that she does. A Saturday morning, two classes, one at 10, one at 7. In each class, no more than 4 to 6 owners and their dogs. That's it. Where these numbers come from, I have absolutely no idea. Furthermore, we have CCTV cameras at the front of our property aimed at the double gates that see the approach of every single vehicle. We can clarify conclusively the number of vehicles that come over a 2 week period to our property, and that would include deliveries, postmen, refuse collectors, etc. There is no way there are 200 vehicles a week coming to our property, and I can honestly tell you we would not want Julia to be there if that were the case. We value our privacy, we value our environment, there is no way we would allow that to happen.
Thank you.
Mr. Ellis, anything further to add?
If I may, Chairman, I think I would just make 2 points. First of all, when this committee report was written, Ken Poyser and I looked at the option of the legal agreement and the contribution towards the upgrade of the boat, and our original view was that may be unreasonable given the scale of the use, because when the time we visited it, which isn't frequent but from time to time, we've never seen a level of activity of the scale that has been referred to earlier. So our original view was that Tom Goldsmith's suggestion, and he's the rights of way officer to Arts County Council, our original view was we think that's an unreasonable demand on the applicant. However, we then having driven the route, it is in a poor state of repair. And it seems to me that the majority of traffic that's going to go down that route is going to be accessing this business. So we thought about striking a balance. But before we came up with it, I came up with that extra, those extra conditions. I spoke to Tom Goldsmith at length because I wasn't familiar with the legal background to the byway open to all traffic and how it's maintained. And I was asking him, how is there another way of compelling the adjoining landowners, and that would have actually included Councillor Barnard and Red Cross, is there another way of requiring an upgrade to this boat without it being at the public purse? Because obviously what they're concerned about is the boat's deteriorating over the years and that there aren't public funds available to upgrade it. And then he described to me in the legislation there is something called exceptional use. And if you can demonstrate that there is an exceptional use, the county council would be able to compel landowners that join or benefit from the boat to upgrade that surface at their expense. But he didn't think that he could demonstrate an exceptional use from this development. So his view was that this use is a business. Use in the rural area. So his view was that he thought it was reasonable to ask the applicant to contribute to the upgrade, given the basis that the business use operates at that end of the boat. And then I asked him, well, how do you achieve that? It's not a highway, so it's not 27A. It's a different kind of agreement. There are other landowners. I think some of the lands owned by the Crown Estate. So he said, leave it loosely along the lines of a legal agreement, and then he said, we'll figure out how it's done. So the conditions we're recommending with their agreement, with the Highway Authority's agreement, is that the detail about how that upgrading takes place is to be between the applicant and the county council, and then they enter a separate agreement. How that's funded and how that's delivered is down to them, so it's outside of your control. But what I'm suggesting is appropriate and reasonable trigger points so that, as I said, the agreement should happen within 6 months, but the key point is that the upgrade that results from that agreement should take place within 2 years. And I've suggested that if in 2 years the upgrade hasn't taken place, no reason to believe that it wouldn't take place, because that's quite a long time frame to organise just some filling and some holes and some repairs here and there. Then the use would cease. But of course, if the upgrade does take place, this would end up being a permanent permission. So that's the sort of balance that we've tried to strike. There was another issue that I do think is worth mentioning about the enforceability of conditions. Conditions need to be enforceable and reasonable and necessary in all of those tests. But if you think that the council's officers aren't going to their monitoring times of the day, well, no we're not, but I'm sure we'll be finding out quite quickly if any of those conditions are breached at any moment during the course of the lifespan of the development. And that's how we respond. We respond to conditions by being reactive. We are informed of potential breaches and we investigate. We don't go around the district checking that all takeaways are closed at 10 o'clock at night and that all uses cease at 5 o'clock in the evening. That's not how we operate. But what I would advise is that if you were minded to refuse planning permission because you didn't think the conditions were enforceable, that's not a good reason for refusal, because if you can control things by conditions and they are enforceable, they're enforceable by their wording and by their intent, and they are enforceable because if you find that there is a dog training activity going on at 9 o'clock in the evening of a summer evening, well, that's a clear breach of condition. The condition says it must cease at 5 o'clock in the evening. So the benefit that you have is that they apply for planning permission, and now you can formalise it and you can put in the necessary mitigation. Had there never been a planning application in the first place, and had this business just been continuing, would we have taken the view that we would have stopped that use, a low-key dog training use at the end of the track? Possibly not. So what you've got the benefit of is you've got the benefit of a planning application, you can impose suitable mitigation on, and I think you strike the right balance between, you know, a rural enterprise and protecting the amenities of the area. And then the 32 movements a day, well, that's just a theoretical calculation based on 4 dogs on every hour, you know, based on a theoretical worst-case scenario. You can apply that to anything. You know, if Sainsbury's is open till 10 o'clock at night, it's got car park for 500 cars, then you can argue that that's 500 movements every hour. For, you know, that's just a theoretical exercise. From our experience, from our visiting the site, we've never seen a level of intensity of use that's anything like 32 movements a day. So that's how we approached it. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Yes, Councillor Hunter.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Mr. Ellis. I'm fully aware of boats. I've been dealing with boats as a county councillor for a good number of years. When I first became a county councillor, I thought, why would I put a boat to in the country? There's no water, and then I found out exactly what it was, and our rights of way deal with it, how they maintain them, how, unfortunately, they have a limited pot of money to maintain them, and they have to be maintained in a certain way. They can't be made up to an asphalt track, and that takes away what they were intended for in the first place. So, can I quite simply stop talking about it and propose we accept the officer's recommendation for Grant for a second?
Have we got a second?
No.
I'd like to speak, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
I look on this as a business operating within the Green Belt and one where the usual exceptions will not apply because it's a business. But then thinking about it, it's a field, Chair. It's no more than that. I find it hard to object, save for I'm a little bit worried about inadequate parking and inadequate access due to the number of vehicles going back and forth. So, I've heard what Councillor Hunter says. I'd be happy to hear from any other members before I make my mind up.
Councillor Smith?
Yes, I simply observed, rather than what Mr. Ellis was saying, that of course there could have been no application and it could just be friends meeting for a coffee morning with their dogs on a regular basis, doing some kind of study or whatever. And I don't see that we would have any standing, either the officers or us on the planning committee, to stop that. So I kind of throw that in as an observation. On the question, I can understand the objectors with the children and infants at the bottom. Of course they're concerned, and it comes into a bit of a question of trust that the applicants are not going to be stuffing it full of as many dog training sessions as they possibly can. And that would not really be with the spirit of the permission that you'd be granted.
If we can't. Anybody else like to make any comments? Well, I have a proposal from Councillor Weeks. No, sorry, from Councillor Hunter. I have a seconder from Councillor Green. So, all those in favour of the officer's recommendation? And those abstaining?
Three.
Okay. Any cases? Item 10.
Mr. Chairman, before we go to it, can I clarify the procedure that we just enacted? Obviously, the applicants stayed in the room and heard what the objectors were saying. The objectors were then asked to leave the room, so could not hear what the applicant was saying. Is that fair and equitable within the policies that we should be running? Can I seek your clarification, please?
I was informed before the hour the item, the Council of Frost and Barnum will declare an interest and will leave once they have spoken.
So it's his decision. Couldn't they have stayed to hear the applicant's presentation?
I would need clarification from our legal representative on that. I'll just tell you what I have been provided with.
No, I'm just thinking of the way, a matter of justice. Because, the applicant heard what the objectors were saying, but the objectors did not hear the other side of the discussion.
Section 17 of the Constitution deals with the NHDC's Council Code of Conduct for councillors. Section 6.2 talks about the clear of interest. As you heard, Councillor Fairley Ross and Councillor Barnard have a clear of interest because the particular site in question relates to their property, and that if the buyer goes past their property, it's an application site. If they have, as they declared their interest, they've got to, the only way they can speak is to exercise their council speaking right. Another point C, or 6.2, once they've exercised, they have to speak on the item and then leave the room for the debate and vote. So this is according to the Constitution that was adopted on the 5th of May.
So can I clarify that you're confirming they do not have any right to hear what the person speaking after the presentation?
Well, I confirm with you, Councillor Barnard, that it says here in the Constitution that once exercised that right, they're supposed to speak on the item, leave the room before the debate and vote.
Before the debate, I understand. What before the question?
You cannot change the wording of the Constitution. That's what it says.
I'm asking for clarity on it, which I'm.
You're asking that should they have stayed to hear the applicant's case before they left?
I can understand you, I won't get an answer tonight, but if it could be just clarified through you, Mr. Chair.
Right. I'll speak to the monitoring officer, along with the legal representative, to get you a definitive answer.
Thank you.
I know the applicant, Chairman, on this, and it could be said I have a declarable interest, having received hospitality in the last 12 months. So, I would like to be able to speak on this, but then leave the room before the vote.
Okay. I believe you have to speak as a member of the public. Is that correct?
You have to exercise this council speaking right. Once it's exercised, then you can speak on the item and then leave before the debate and vote. Same as what just going to
Joe?
Item 10, Lodge Farm, Kingsborough. Detached agricultural grain store and grain dryer. Simon Ellis to introduce the report.
Thank you again, Chair. I'll keep it brief. Not much to update really. The applicant has just yesterday submitted additional information relating to D details required under recommended condition 9, whilst it's good practice to seek to resolve as many issues as possible prior to determination, this information has arrived too late for us to reconsult with the authority in time for this meeting. So unless the applicant wants to wait even longer for his decision, then I would suggest that that just gets submitted separately as a separate discharge of condition at a later date. Just looking at the site, here's Lodge Farm. As you come in along from Lily Wotton into this, up this lane here, and the site is quite interesting because you come in there and then it slopes up that way, it slopes up that way, and as you drive in the road, you're still going up the hill. So if you can imagine this field where the building will be located is sort of in the dip, and then you're going up that way. This is the lower point down here. In fact, you can see that 124 metres at the entrance, and that's 112 metres just a bit further down into the track. And this is a photo that is facing that's facing the existing buildings on the site, and that's at the entrance to the site. And then this is a good photo, but this shows the point I was making about the elevation. You can see that you're still going up the hill as you go up the lane, and then it rises to the right and it rises to the left, and the location of the building is in here. So it's in this field, using the same access as is already used to gain access to the existing farm buildings. There's the access there, and here's the site itself. That's the location of the building in here, and there's the site plan showing you the position of the building and the access. So you get your vehicle hardcore there, and then your new agricultural building in, and your grain dryer in there. And that's elevations of it. Looks like a typical large-scale agricultural building. And then you can see here that the applicant's intending to bed it into the landscape so that it first of all, so it functions properly, so it's not built on a slope, and then also clearly its visual impact is minimised from the wider landscape. I think that's minimised anyway by the landform, as I said. I don't think this would be obtrusive from wider locations. Obviously it's quite a big building, but I think it's nestled in quite carefully into the landscape. In terms of the updates, thank you, Chairman.
Can I invite Mr. Richard Wilkinson, who is the applicant?
Good night. Good evening, and thank you. I'm just going to try and run through briefly this evening, within my last 5 minutes, the need for this shed and why we need to consolidate it onto a single site. We, in the agricultural industry, are plagued with the worst health and safety of any industry in the UK, and particularly there is danger where large vehicles enter and manoeuvre and fill with grain. The issue with our existing grain stores is that they cannot tip modern trailers. Modern trailers now are 14-ton trailers. When they lift up in the air, they go up to 8 metres high, and then they have to move during the tipping process. That means that all of our existing grain stores dotted around are not large enough. We then are faced with the fact that in order to comply with the correct specifications to sell grain, we need to bring down the moisture levels, and we need to bring down a thing called the admix levels. The moisture levels are pushed on us by the merchants, grain merchants, not wishing to dry the grain themselves, they wish us to dry the grain. So they insist, instead of giving 16%, which it used to be 4 years ago, it has to be 14%. 14% is given to you as dry as you can get with grain. We need specialist drying equipment. That drying equipment is the thing on the right-hand side. It has a large hopper and then a continuous flow drying machine that takes it through into the two buildings on the side, which are then fed by elevators that drop the grain in. So human contact now goes away from that, as does vehicles basically entering and leaving the grain store itself. This combined with the fact that the combine harvesters are incredibly expensive, 400,000 each combine harvester, means they've got to work longer hours to justify that expense. The world is not getting any drier, as it were, particularly last summer, so they need to go when they're going. So you need a system that can handle it fast and efficiently. Admix is the basically the weed content that's in grain, so they need a sieving system. As you know, most grain stores, you just go along and dump it on the floor and then off it goes. This system on the left-hand side has a blower attached to it, which actually works generally. The drying system, so it will blow out most of the chaff and weed within there so that you can make your contract specifications. The key point that we would like to make is that we are a zero-sum game when it comes to movements. We will not be moving grain any more or any less, unfortunately. We're not producing any more grain, we're having grain still. And therefore, the same number of movements will come in and out. We have a grain store on the near side of Offley, which involves all of those grain lorries going through Offley and through the High Street, which is both narrow, particularly narrow again. This will take away all of those lorries and put them onto the Lily Bottom Road. I've heard about the Lily Bottom Road in the application before, allowing them to come along there. At present, we have a small store, which means we must move the grain in and out on a daily basis during the height of harvesting. This will allow us to keep the grain, to let it out over gradual timings to meet market demand rather than having all of those lorries piled up on any one day. We have up to 16 on one day currently, and of course, harvesting starts by 10 in the morning, so with the current system, they all arrive between 7 and 10 during rush hour because you're not working at that point, so you can load the lorries so you can get them away. We hope that this will stop our movements to Offley. We've spent a lot of time working with Offley Parish Council to try and get as many of our vehicles off the road onto upgraded tracks, which we've kind of given us permission to for earlier. So, I ask you to look at this as a logical extension of our business. It makes us profitable because we can keep the grain longer and meet specifications, and it helps us greatly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, have any questions or clarification? Councillor Williams.
Thank you, Chairman. Excuse my ignorance, but is there any reason why grain store cannot be placed, say, on an industrial site?
Yes, the grain store is specific to the fields it services, so we would have to drag that grain by tractor and trailer through the whole of Hitchin up onto the industrial site.
So there is an operation you need to carry out to the grain before you store it.
You only need to take it off the fields, yeah. So the combine harvester goes along, it drops its grain in the trailer. The trailer is then towed on the farm roads, by and large, farm tracks, to near where Lodge Farm is. It then enters, goes through the drying system, gets stockpiled, and then is taken away by lorry to its ultimate destination.
So you can't control that operation if it was removed from your farm.
It would be completely impossible. No.
Okay. Ultimately, the grain, once it's dried out, has to be shipped to the flour mill or whatever. So there are movements there.
Correct. Correct. The movements don't change. We produce the same amount of grain regardless of the grain store. So the grain amount is determined by the yield from the field. We haven't increased our yields from the field, we just want to store it in a single place. The reason why we want to store it in a single place is because the dryer on the left-hand side of the cleaner is 20 metres long and 8 metres high, and it's a huge piece of industrial kit that cannot be moved. You won't see it because it sits absolutely parallel to the building.
I did say, excuse my ignorance.
Is there anything you'd like to say further, Mr. Chair? Then over to you, please. Sorry?
Councillor Spencer Smith came to speak as an MP for the room.
Yes, I just observed it seems sensible. It seems a reduction in lorry journeys through tightly packed villages. It seems well hidden, and it seems a nice dark green colour which should blend in with the countryside, that bit which is visible. So those are my observations.
Not only would he like to propose, but he proposed. A marriage made in heaven. Everybody in favour?
Yes.
Jonathan.
Dodging chair.
Spencer Smith, though.
Sorry, yes.
That's it.
The North Arts Gallery.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Visit.
Well, you went earlier.
Yeah, okay, that's where I went.
Yes. Anybody got any other business? No.
Oh, yes, I do have one. Well, think, Chair. Sorry, I'm very sorry. I have to just observe, and it may just be me, that I find the new maps, I know they're well intended, very confusing on what the actual sites are on that we're looking at. Could I ask Member Services to review that?
Yeah, we have urban maps, yes.
I mean, come on.
Is it just me?
Point, Sandra.